This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna, your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap! Welcome in to Season 5, Episode number 27. 27 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. It's our 2023 Italian GP race preview. You've got Andy, and I'm along with my normal, wonderful co-host, who's been doing the Ironman streak with me lately, Cody. It's good to see you, sir, yet again. It's been, talk about a quick pit stop. Turn around and let's go again. It's been a while since we've done this, but how's it going tonight, sir?
Yeah, seriously, quick turnaround. I don't really mind it. It was nice. Kept the whole computer set up exactly the same. So it was actually really quick and easy this time. But yeah, looking forward to, after that summer break, having some back-to-back Formula One.
Yeah, and this is always the one that can sometimes, you never know what you're going to get. I always feel like this race, particularly Monza, is always like that weird box of, like, life is like a box of chocolates. Well, this race can sometimes be a box of chocolates. You really don't know what you're going to expect. You sometimes see first-time winners, one-off winners. Sometimes you see, exactly as you would predict it. And other times you see wildness and craziness. So, but anyway, we will get all into that in just a little bit. If you found our show, once again, welcome, and we're happy to have you along tonight. You can find us, as always, on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast is the handle on all of those. If you happen to be watching on YouTube, we'll see if we can get a video up for this one. Do us a solid, click the like and subscribe button if you so choose. That would just help us come up a little bit more in search results when you're looking for F1 content, and it just helps us come up a little bit more quicker as we try to expand our web as far as we can. If you happen to be listening on your favorite podcasting app, which would be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're on a bunch of others too. If you can find the 5-star button on any of those, that will also, again, help us come up a little bit more in search results, help us be the voice amongst the crowds of F1 content producers. That would help us out quite a bit. So we would be most appreciative of that. You can find us on, you can always email our show, chat now at OutlapF1 would take you there. The wonderful website, www.outlapf1.com will take you there. As just a reminder, we have some monetary supporters and we're super grateful to all of them so much. Thank you again so much to Dean Warwick, Yuri Dolchester, Paul Weaver, Quentin Warden, Kevin Kelly, Regan Stanzik, Timothy Brown, and of course, Jonathan Scott. If you'd like to become a member of our hashtag Outlap F1 Nation, we'll have a link in our show notes. It's our anchor page, $1, $5. All proceeds received go into the show to help making it go better and move it forward. So we would be appreciative if you'd like to do that. You can always take advantage, as always, from the good folks at Manscaped with our code OUTLAP. That's 20% off and free shipping. The code, again, OUTLAP, OUTLAP, all one word. Check that out if you'd so be inclined. And our final sponsor, the F1Guy.com. Fitting that it's the Italian GP, he's got some great Ferrari-themed merch. Our buddy Vincenzo Landino. So go ahead and check that out. It's F1 quality merch at not necessarily the F1 quality price, which is hard to find these days. So please, if you're so inclined, go check that out. He's got some really cool designs if you'd like to check that out. All right. So quickie turnaround means not a ton of news, but we did get some clarity on next year's grid. A story that doesn't really surprise, but it was interesting that now was the announcement. But Lewis Hamilton has put pen to paper on a new Mercedes contract that will keep the 7-time world champion on board with the Mercedes outfit through the 2025 season. And teammate George Russell has also been retained for that same period. So they both contracts will now expire at the same time after the 25 season. Quote from Lewis saying, quote, "We dream every day of being the best. And we have dedicated the past decade together to achieving that goal. Being at the top does not happen overnight or over a short period of time. It takes commitment, hard work, dedication, and it's been an honor to earn our way into the history books with this incredible team. As for Russell, He chimed in and said, "I've grown up with this team ever since joining part of the junior program back in 2017. It's my home, and it feels fantastic to extend our special relationship through 2025. After stepping up to the Mercedes race seat last year, I wanted to reward the trust and belief that Toto and the rest of the team placed in me. Taking my first pole position and first race win last year was an unforgettable feeling. More importantly, though, it's been great to work with everybody at Brackley and Brixworth to make the progress with our car and push forward our development. Their loyalty, vision, and hard work is inspiring." Well, Cody, what's your thought on this? Stability is always a good thing, and Mercedes seems to opt, and they're happy with the driver lineup that they have. So what's your take?
Not really any surprises that they're happy with the driver lineup. George Russell's definitely very promising and very hungry, and Lewis Hamilton's record speaks for itself. I have to imagine, and what I've been hearing as well, is that Lewis Hamilton was kind of more wanting the multi-year aspect of the deal, and he did get a couple years in it. I have to imagine that he wanted at least another season beyond 2025, because I would think that he's got to be thinking that 2026, new rules for the engine. It's what made Mercedes successful in the first place, is the engine change rules that Mercedes got right and made that car the dominant force for the next, 7 years, 8 years. He has to want to give that another shot and think that that championship or that year could be the year he could get the eighth championship. But Mercedes doesn't seem to have the same faith in the team or have the same faith in him to give him that one extra year. They want to see if he drops off a cliff in the next 2 years, apparently.
Well, I think it just goes to show that 2025 is going to be one of the more crazy, silly seasons we're ever going to have. We're definitely going to see. I mean, that's when a lot of these longer now term contracts, that's when Lando's contract is up. It's when I think, obviously now Lewis and Russell's contracts are going to be up that year. You can see, and all these teams are now under the pressure to perform and deliver cars that are worthy of the talent that's sitting in them. And if they don't, you're going to see some massive reshuffling up and down the grid. Look, if Lewis shows that he's still got the speed and it's not dropping off, I'm pretty sure that the next contract will still be there. I can't imagine if Lewis wants to continue to drive, I don't think he's going to be driving anybody else other than Mercedes. I think he said that. That's where he wants to be. I think Toto tends to agree, but Toto also likes to hedge his bets. So I'm not surprised, just given Lewis's age. Now we've seen, obviously, old can still be good in Formula One. Fernando Alonso is exhibit one of that. So, but even then, even Aston isn't willing to necessarily give him a long-term contract. They're going to do the same thing, kind of hedge their bets a little bit. So, I think the Mercedes team over the course of the last 10, 15 years has been one of the best run organizations in Formula One. I don't think they've forgotten how to do it. I think they just got put on the back foot a little bit and now are trying to recover somewhat. We've seen them progress and get better, as this year and as this formula becomes more mature. So I'm hoping that, that this is it looks like this is the dynamic that they want. And it looks like everybody seems to have left this negotiation relatively happy.
Definitely agree.
All right. So that was the big F1 news story. But the other thing that came out actually this morning, the F2 series debuted a new chassis that they will start to run starting next year. And it definitely is raising some eyebrows. You look at the whole front of the car, it looks pretty much kind of like a standard F2 chassis. Nothing really to write home about. Yeah, it's got a little bit more front wing in it, but the big thing that clearly you see right away if you look at this car is the rear wing and the enhanced nature of what apparently the F2 people want to do with DRS. F2 boss Bruno Michel, or it might be Bruno Michael, but maybe I'm saying Brichel. I'm not exactly sure. I apologize if I've completely butchered the name. But saying, quote, "The rear wing itself has a round shape that is quite close to what F1 is having at the moment. The big difference is probably what you saw, which is the flap that is quite heavy and big. That has been done to make sure that with the kind of setup we have, the car, we can have extremely strong DRS efficiency. And it sounds like this is aimed at trying to break up, at least at the F2 level, some of these DRS trains, which then does that then turn around and translate to the F1 level, where we know we've had DRS trains kind of be a problem. Cody, what's your thought on the F2 chassis overall, and what's your thought on their DRS take?
It seems like it's going around the different open wheel series right now, at least anything that Dallara has a hand in, because if you look at the new F2 car that's going to be debuting next year and you compare it to the Super Formula new chassis that debuted this year, that rear wing looks very similar on both cars. So whatever, you know, whatever Formula One's trying to get in lower series, they're telling it to Dallara, and Dallara seems to think they have the solution with this weird, wacky, rounded rear wing. So they've already tested it out in Super Formula this year. It's going to be in Formula 2 next year. Stronger DRS, maybe in a spec series, might spice it up the action a little bit. So looking forward to see how it goes, at least. As far as the rest of the car, to me, it looks very much like a miniature version of popular F1 designs from the new chassis era. I think it looks sleek and cool. The rear wing is going to take some getting used to, but we'll just have to see if it makes things more interesting.
Yeah, I know when they first debuted the expected designs of this Formula One cars, the first thing I noticed was, you know, that curved rear wing looked like it was kind of flapping out there in the breeze. And I'm like, boy, you know, we go from these nice square, sleek designs to this curvy, weirdo thing in the back. And after a couple, you know, depending on the camera angle and how it's shot and everything else, you kind of just kind of got used to it, and then you didn't really matter. And, you know, now we're seeing, you know, these teams push the design back to much more of a squared off rear wing. So now you're seeing this, you know, curvy wing in F2. And I think two or three races in, just like, you know, when they introduced the halo or they introduced whatever else that looks kind of odd, two or three races after you get used to seeing it, and then you kind of wonder how you got along without seeing that type of thing before. That said, I think it does create a question, and a question that I've heard bandied about in a bunch of different F1 circles. Where are we with DRS in Formula One? Do we, there's a certainly a growing movement, and I've heard lots of good cases for possibly getting rid of DRS. Was like, you know, with this formula, you're supposed to be able to follow closer, therefore you don't necessarily need the boost of DRS. At least that was the theory. I think in practice, what you've seen is you can get closer, but there's still that wall of air that you still, it's just not 2 seconds away, it's maybe 0.75 seconds away. So there's still a case where you could say, well, maybe we still need DRS. Or do we do what F2 is doing and double down and say, well, what we really need is a more powerful DRS so that you don't get the train, but you get the overtake. And then woe to you if you're at the front of then that group of cars, because it seems like you're just going to be a sitting duck and really can't do any defending. So, Cody, big topic, but where do you think we're going and what would you like to see?
I would like to see ultimately DRS go away again, or maybe take a little bit of a more strategic form than just needing to be within a second of the car in front of you and getting that advantage where the car in front has, you know, not really any way to defend except the dirty air that it's producing, which DRS is supposed to counter in the first place. I would like to see that. I think Formula One is in a pretty good spot right now because we have seen over the last season and a half that the new aero regulations have worked at least somewhat with allowing cars to follow more closely. We've seen a big uptick in overtakes. I think the on-track action is pretty good. You get some cars like Red Bull that have super DRS, and it makes passing look easy. And I wonder if, you know, maybe with the being able to follow more closely, that maybe the current DRS is too powerful. But apparently the formula body doesn't think that that's enough in feeder series, so they need to kick it up a little bit more when there's spec cars involved, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to a lot of people say that they would love to get rid of DRS. I think the natural way that you would start to phase it out would be kind of a, and we kind of talked about this in the pre-show, a mixture of kind of what IndyCar does with push to pass, where, okay, you can use your DRS, but maybe you only get 15 DRS attempts a race. And you have to decide, are you really close enough? Yeah, you can be within the second. Yeah, you can open the flap. But if you don't think you can get the pass done, you better not burn it because you might just do something dumb and not have it. Or if you're even the car in front, do you then get to, in a DRS zone, get to push it to try and defend and not be a complete sitting duck? Because I don't think anybody enjoys a DRS pass fest. You know, you get a lot of overtakes that way, but I go, you know, okay, well, what could the car in front actually do? Like,
Yeah,
he
they just
picks
let
a
them pass.
side and the guy goes around him on the outside and it's not even a battle. And where's the fun in that? What?
How many DRS zones are there typically around a track? Like three-ish?
Two or three, depending on what the FIA wants to do. You know, usually you see two. Monaco's the only one that has one.
I would think an interesting way to do it would be if you got, at least a couple, two, three DRS zones that if you're within a second, at some detection point and you're behind by a second, you get DRS for all the zones in the lap. But then if you are the car in front that's just under a second ahead, you get to choose one spot in the lap where you get DRS.
I like that. I don't know how you implement that. That's very complicated with a lot
Is
of
complicated.
beeping, yes, to implement. But I love the thought. I love the fact that we're thinking out of the box. And that's great. Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see kind of where this goes. Obviously, now we know what the main feeder series' take on it has been to try to make the DRS more powerful. We'll have to see if that translates up into the upper echelon of Formula One and what they eventually want to do. But yeah, so we'll keep our eyes on it and watch what happens. All right, so last story before we hop into the Italian GP weekend proper. We do have some one-off liveries, which the Italian teams have brought to this race, specifically the Scuderia Ferrari, of course, with a historic one-off livery, and then the Alfa Romeo, which with the black and the Italian flag in the back, which I actually think looks pretty sharp. But yeah, so do you think any of these one-off liveries will help either team do better, or is it just kind of a show pony type thing? And what's your thought on the actual liveries themselves?
Definitely a little bit of a show-off thing, although I can kind of understand Ferrari wanting to show off that, hey, we can still build fast race cars that win races. It's just not in Formula One. I can see them wanting to celebrate any type of win they get. The car livery looks all right. The overalls are kind of a little ugly, in my opinion. Now, the Alfa Romeo car, that looks sick. And if you didn't know that Alfa Romeo was Italian before, you really do now. Maybe it'll give him a little bit of a confidence boost, and we'll see. Maybe Joe Bottas squeeze out a couple points.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Usually, you know, I mean, the Tifosi can be weird. They can either give you that like half a second boost if you're lacking confidence and maybe you need to get some more, or it can be a pressure cooker and you just they it's just they expect. I think it was Steve Matchett, when he used to work for NBC Sports, who used to do Formula One coverage in the US, used to always go, Maranello expects, Ferrari expects, the Tifosi expect. And you just hear that and you go, wow, that's a lot of pressure. But they are rewarded with one of the best podiums if they happen to get there. So that's also really cool too. So all right, so that's pretty much all of the big stories this weekend going into the weekend. We will, of course, stay attuned to us on Twitter and or Threads if big stories break, we will do our best to pass them along as they come out throughout the course of the weekend. But for right now, we're going to drop our green flag, get into the Italian GP track facts and stats. So, Cody, tell us about the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza.
Excellent. Yes, this weekend we are racing around the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza, located in, you guessed it, Monza, Italy. Number of laps around the track is 53, and the track length is 5.793 kilometers. That's 3.6 miles, with only 11 turns. Tire selection, we are pretty much staying in the middle range. Looks like we got the C2 for hard, C3 for medium, and C4 for soft. Track characteristics from Pirelli are as follows. We have traction 3 out of 5, braking 4 out of 5, lateral load 2 out of 5, tire stress 3 out of 5, track evolution 3 out of 5, asphalt grip 2 out of 5, asphalt abrasion 3 out of 5, and downforce levels in easily 1 out of 5. Qualifying lap record under Monza's current configuration goes to Lewis Hamilton, set with Mercedes. And that was a 1 minute 18.887 seconds, while the race lap record is set by Rubens Barrichello at a 1 minute 21.046 seconds. Most wins around Monza is a tie between two of the greatest of all time, Michael Schumacher and Lewis Hamilton, both with 5 wins around Monza. Second place goes to Nelson Piquet with 4 wins, and then a whopping 8 drivers are tied with 3 wins apiece. Some of the big names in that 8 include Vettel, Barrichello, Fangio, and Prost. So definitely big successful names of Formula 1 there. And 11 drivers tied with 2 wins at Monza. That's how long Monza's been around for. We have 11 drivers with 2 wins. Most constructor wins goes to Ferrari with a whopping 20, so that that home field advantage must really count for something. McLaren is in second with 11, Mercedes in third with 9, Alfa Romeo in fourth with 8, and the Williams team in fifth with 6. What's the circuit like, Andy?
All right, if there's one word that you can describe the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza, it's fast. Formula One's fastest ever lap was set at Monza. Williams driver Juan Pablo Montoya's 260.6-kilometer effort during practice for the 2004 Grand Prix, which should give you some idea of the nature of the track. The locals call it La Pista Magica. Cars are in full throttle for 80% of the lap, and their VMAX on the circuit's 1.1-kilometer finish straight hit their VMAX on that 1.1-kilometer finish straight. Excuse me. From there, they roar off into the historic park section where a series of big stops into tight chicanes gives the brakes also a good workout. As for the weather, and if you love your rain, maybe this is not the weekend for you. It looks like it's going to be sunny and warm. For qualifying, partly cloudy, high of 84 degrees, winds light and variable, chance of rain a scant 12%, and for the race on Sunday, mix of clouds and sun early, and becoming cloudy later in the day. High, very warm for Formula One, 87 degrees Fahrenheit. Winds out of the west-southwest at 5 to 10. The chance of rain is 10%. All right, so we are going to take our official break here. We will come on back. We'll pay a bill or two. We'll come on back. We'll set the stage. A couple things we have. Oh, one thing we haven't talked about. This is weekend number 2 of Guess What? The alternative tire allocation, which is going to mean mandatory tire compounds during some of the qualifying sessions. So if you forgot how much fun that was, we get to do it yet again. So I think it's Q1 on hards, Q2 on mediums, and Q3 on softs. It doesn't look like we're going to get any rain. So we're going to go through this whether we want to or not. But anyway, so keep that in mind, especially as you're watching the practice sessions. Why are they not running certain tires? That's probably why they're trying to save them or use them, because we have this lovely alternative tire allocation on offer this weekend. So like I said earlier, we're going to take a break. We'll come on back, and we will get into our Italian GP predictions. Lord knows I have to rally. Just looking at it, we have opportunities. We're definitely different. We're not agreeing on everything this time. So come on back, and we'll get into all that in just a little bit. You are listening to the Outlap F1 podcast, and we'll be right back after this quick pit stop. All right, welcome back. This is season 5, episode number 27 of the Outlap F1 podcast. It's our 2023 Italian GP race preview, and you've got Andy, and I'm along with my wonderful co-host Cody tonight. And before we get into our predictions, I do have to make one quick change to the track facts. I messed up. I apologize. I had the wrong compounds. We're a step softer this weekend. So the C3 is the hard, the C4 is the medium, and the C5 soft is the softest compound that's available this weekend. So with that and the alternative tire allocation, we might see some mixed up stuff going on. So we'll have to see how that plays into the course of the weekend. But quick apologies to that, and hopefully now you're all much more informed, which is what we try to do. All right. But we're going to start with our qualifying predictions. We'll start with the pole sitter. Last year, the Tifosi were very happy on Saturday last year. Charles Leclerc took the pole. Cody, do you think he's got it in him to do it again? Or looks like you've got an interesting person on the pole, not who you would expect.
Yes, I'm predicting that Monza is going to be a little kooky in the race and in qualifying. So I'm going to go out to left field here and guess Fernando Alonso takes the pole around Monza.
Woo! That would be epic. That would definitely be epic. And if there's a guy out there who could do it, who's going to push all the way to the floor, it's definitely going to be him. I feel bad being boring, but I'm trailing, so I have to be. So again, it's his until somebody takes it. I'll be rooting for your prediction. Let's put it that way. But I'm going with Max Verstappen to take the pole just because, Thanos is inevitable. And it just seems that whenever he's been pushed in qualifying, he pulls out some mega third sector. So that may be what ends up happening. So we'll have to see kind of how this plays out. But I got Max on the pole. All right. So the qualifying pole lap time from last year was a 120.161. Cody, what's your thought on the pole time?
I think we're going to get a pretty good gain in the pole time over last year. And considering we were supposed to have pretty good weather in Monza, I think it stands that they're going to go quite a bit quicker. So I've got a 1 minute 19.278.
All right, very good. I had put these times in before I realized we were on that lovely alternative tire allocation thing. I'm sticking with it. I do think it's going to end up faster, but they're not going to have that natural ramp up throughout the three sessions. So I'm going to go faster than last year, but only slightly so. 119.750. That's what I got for a lap time. So we will move into the race on Sunday, and we'll start with the race podium. Max Verstappen took the win last year, followed by Charles Leclerc in P2 and George Russell in the Mercedes in P3. So, Cody, we've had some mixed up podiums, at least, if nothing else, everybody other than Max, the last few rounds. What do you see happening here in Monza?
I see Max Verstappen taking the consecutive win record for his own and finishing P1. I do think Perez is going to have a pretty good comeback, and I think during the race, the Red Bull is going to look really strong, so I got Perez in P2. And then I am praying for the Williams rocket ship that gives Alex Albon his first podium in P3.
Ooh, you have a very fun weekend on tap. I love this weekend that you've got set up here. Alonso on the pole, and then something happens to him. He's not even on the podium, but Alex Albon then steps up. So I would love to get your full starting grid for this race, because this sounds like absolutely amazing. So I'm going to hang some stuff out too here. I am going to give it to Max Verstappen to take the win. Shocker. This season. But I'm going to go full papaya mode. Why not? Sometimes they can nail this setup here. Lando Norris to come through in P2. Hopefully they put the capper upgrade on. They definitely took some drag out in Zandvoort, according to the stats. So I'm hoping that translates here as well. And I'm going to give George Russell, freshly signed contract, happy boy, to come home on the podium in P3 as well. All right. So we'll now move into the fastest lap and the driver. Last year's fastest lap and driver was a 124.030, and that was set by Sergio Checo Perez. So, Cody, who you got for fastest lap time, and what's your driver?
I've got Lewis Hamilton trying to pick up the extra point this week, and I've got him doing it just a little bit faster than last year at a 1:23.778.
All right, very good. I'm going to go with fastest lap driver being George Russell. I think he's just going to have a good weekend, you know, so I just got him having a pretty good weekend. And that lap time will be a 1:24, a little bit slower, 1:24.324 is what I've got.
You were hoping for my Alonso pole. I'm hoping for your Russell podium, because he's had flashes of being really good this year, but he's also had some really awful luck at some races, yeah. Especially last week. So I think it would be a great turnaround for him.
Yep. Yeah. And I think him and Norris would make some interesting battles amongst the two of them if they are fighting for P2 or P3. So let's hope that that happens. All right. So for bonus picks, I've gone ahead and selected in multiples of five this race, P5, P10, and P15. I'm going to say Oscar Piastri and the other McLaren comes home P5. Good, but not necessarily podium worthy yet. I want so bad to put him on the podium, but I have to see it first. Yuki Tsunoda, just because that's always where he's been around. I didn't get a chance to talk about his drive in the last review too much. He did some mega defending against Lando Norris for a long time and deserved a lot better in that race until his team decided to hang him out and not pit him for a second set of dry tires. Didn't understand that one. But anyway, Yuki Tsunoda redeems himself this weekend and comes home in P10. And Liam Lawson, still trying to get up to speed a little bit. I think he will show decently this weekend, but still it's going to be a struggle for him to get into the points. So I've got him in P15.
All right. I also have McLaren taking P5, but I've got it as Norris. I don't think they're going to be strong enough to get on the podium like you're thinking this week. So I've got him slotting into P5. I also have Yuki Tsunoda in P10. He's been right around there all year, and I've got a funny feeling that Monza might be the track that's going to cover up some of the shortcomings of that AlphaTauri car. So I've got him slotting into P10, and then Lance Stroll coming in 15th, probably due to some kind of damage, and being outdriven by a mile by his teammate once again.
The season of pain for Lance Stroll apparently will continue, according to you, this weekend. So, yeah, we'll have to see where that ends up. All right, so our prop bet this weekend, do the Tifosi get to rejoice with a red car on the podium on Sunday? I think our podium is pretty much already kind of declared what our answer to this will be, but you can hedge if you want to. So, Cody, what's your thought on the prop bet?
I'm doubling down with the prop bet, and I'm going, no. It would be very exciting if they did get on the podium, because we know that the Tifosi love their homeboys. But Ferrari seems to be one of the only cars that's gone a little bit backwards, perhaps. I mean, I guess Zandvoort was, a bit of a crazy race, wet, dry, wet. So maybe we're not seeing the full potential of that car right now. But it's just... I don't think it's going to happen. I think they're being outclassed by too many other teams.
I would love to give this a yes. You know, there is something extra special about watching the Tifosi celebrate when Ferrari get on the podium here. Whether you like Ferrari or you don't, you just have to kind of sit back and tip your cap when that happens. Do I think it's going to happen this weekend? Yeah, I don't see it. So I'm going no. Unfortunately, I don't think they've got quite enough juice in the car right now, the way that it is now, to quite get there. They may be competitive. If they put all their P's and Q's right, they'll be in the points. They should be in the points, should be even in the upper parts of the points, but not necessarily enough to necessarily get on the podium. All right. So before we hop on out of here, we're just going to give you quickly a rundown of where and when you can watch your F1 this weekend. And it starts in a little under 9 hours from by the time we were recording tonight. So FP1, 7:30 a.m. Eastern. So you can have your coffee and catch some F1 action at Monza. ESPN2 is your place for that. Or, of course, F1 TV. FP2 starts off 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central on ESPN2. FP3 on Saturday kicks off 6:30 a.m. Eastern, so a little more reasonable time if you want to catch the last practice. That's, again, ESPN2. Qualifying, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, a little bit later. Again, ESPN2 is your home for that. And then for the race on Sunday, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, pretty much standard European time. That is on big ESPN main channel. We'll have all your F1 coverage this weekend. All right. Well, Cody, any final thoughts before we hop on out and get into the Monza weekend?
I am hoping and think there's potential that Monza could get even a little bit crazier with the results than what I've predicted for our game. And I'm hoping for it because, you know, gosh, maybe even the first race where Max doesn't win in God knows how long. Now, 9 races. I guess actually we do know how long. So I hope it gets that crazy. Don't think it's strongly enough that it's going to happen to bet against it in the game. But we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, this is a track where you can have a one-off setup and somebody throws the dice and it hits. You know, it hits double sixes and the car is just mega. And it won't necessarily be mega anywhere else but here. We've seen that happen a couple times before. So that is definitely in the cards. We'll have to see how it plays out. Yeah, I'm hoping for the wild and crazy as well. It's certainly going to be warm enough that could also play a factor. We haven't had, you know, it's been pretty cool and cold, you know, cold and wet in Europe. This is a, you know, step back into the heat of the late summer. So we'll have to see kind of how this goes. And you got to think the Italian fans, because they didn't get that earlier race this season, are going to be super psyched and amped up all weekend long. That's always fun to watch as well. So we'll get into all that. We'll be back either Sunday or Monday or maybe Tuesday. I don't know exactly when we're going to record our review. Haven't worked all that out yet because there's a lot of plans with a lot of folks going on, a lot of traveling around all weekend because it's a holiday weekend for us. So if you are in the U.S. and you celebrate Labor Day, please enjoy safely and come on back to hopefully catch our recap whenever we do it. But for Cody, it's been Andy. This is always a lot of fun to do. And as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at OutlapF1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.